the epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5. The epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5, reading from verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. May God bless to us that very practical portion of Holy Scripture. We continue again this evening with this question of marriage, another of the creation institutions, that which is basic and which is fundamental to the whole of the human race. The more I study this matter, the more convinced I am of its solemnity. The more convinced I am of the neglect of basic teaching and the careless way, light-handed way, in which it is treated, even in Christian circles. And I chasten my own heart as I go further into these things. It is heart-searching. It is solemnizing. Just to link up with last fortnight ago, wasn't it? We then saw that marriage was no haphazard thing. It is a God-ordained relationship. Indeed, it is a unique relationship, in that there is a depth which can only be likened to Christ and his church. Because of this, we immediately saw its sanctity. We commenced to look at the woman's role. It is one of subjection. She is not inferior, but she is not head. We saw the reasons for this. Adam was first created, then Eve. Also, Eve was in the transgression. And so from very many parts of the Word of God, we established the truth of headship. Indeed, it runs right through. Then in conclusion, for one said, one was in a dilemma as to which aspect of truth to proceed last time in order to conclude that particular aspect. We concluded on Paul's words to the church at Corinth in his first letter in chapter 11, that section of Holy Scripture which makes it so abundantly clear that this foundation principle of headship must be visibly and in a tangible way demonstrated within a local church gathering. For the relationship between man and woman is typical of Christ and his church. Therefore, because the man typifies the head, he must give visible evidence to the fact. Do not cover his head. Likewise, the woman, typifying the church, which is subject unto Christ, must cover her head, and by so doing, she demonstrates that subjection. And to ignore this solemn ordinance, or to try and twist the word of God by saying that these verses are cultural, they are fashion, or that it just does not matter, is to deny the authority of the word of God. And to permit the practice within the membership of a church is an affront to the lordship of Christ. The word of God plainly states it dishonors the head. Dare any church dishonor their head? I can only repeat that which I said last time. I am extremely sorry for people who have never had these things explained to them. But I am deeply grieved for the shepherds, and they are many, and ministers, who just will not preach all the counsel of God. Very much more could be said on this, but as our subject is the beginnings, the grounds of marriage, we must work from the foundation to its spiritual significance, rather than the other way around. Further spiritual truth and practical application will emerge as we continue, none of which we dare ignore. With regard to this matter before us of headship and submission, let me state that wives are not slaves. The biblical status of the wife is a help meet for her husband. That is her status. Eve was a very part of Adam and brought into being for the express purpose of companionship and intimate relationship. To procreate, yes. But this was not the prime reason. Deep fellowship and sharing, a hallowed union of a permanent nature between a man and a woman, which God would bless with offspring to their mutual joy. This is the object. This is the origin of marriage. Last week we looked more particularly at the wife. This was because of the order of our reading here in the Ephesian epistle. Let us come now more specifically to the husband. And if verses 21 and 22 of Ephesians 5 teach the submission of the wife, and they do, verse 25 clearly teaches the love of the husband. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. This is the keynote to his headship. Love. Love. The woman was not given to man that he should treat her as a slave. She was not given to man to do all his work, or that he should rule over her as a tyrant, or that he should use her as a tool or an implement of the flesh or a toy to be picked up or thrown down according to the fancy or inclination of the moment. Indeed not. How dare men degrade such a hallowed relationship? But they do. To Adam, Eve was a part of himself. And as such, he took her and he embraced her. Hence our reading tonight. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. This, of course, is to be accompanied by the love of the wife in reciprocation, as outlined by Paul in his letter to Titus in the 2nd chapter in verse 4, exhorting young women to be sober and to love their husbands. You see, marriage is essentially a union of love. No husband, I repeat, no husband has a right to talk of headship unless he really and deeply loves his wife. Oh, God did not bring this institution into being for domestic convenience. Neither did he bring this union into being for the gratification of lust. It is a union which is deep. It is a union which is holy. And it is a union which is permeated with love. That there is a physical aspect to marriage, the scriptures are abundantly clear. This too is of God. I shun not to declare this. It is of God. The sexual instinct within did not follow the fall, rather. It preceded it. It preceded it. And it is a part of the intimate and sacred relationship of marriage. And never to be exercised outside of marriage. This is an exercise of the deepest and most sacred nature within the secrecy, the intimacy of the marriage bond, the absolute abandonment to each other in filial love. Oh, friends, I repeat that which I said last week. We are dealing with holy things here. Institutions which are of God. The Sabbath is a sanctified thing. So also is marriage. What does it mean? Sanctified? Not for common use. It is sacred. It is sacred. It must be approached in the fear of God. Oh, I repeat what I said earlier this evening. How lightly are these things handled today? How right, how correct, how biblical is the old Anglican prayer book on this, when it states that holy matrimony is an honorable estate instituted of God in the time of man's innocency. Oh, we've heard it scores of times, have we not? Has the deep significance of it sunk in at weddings which we have attended? Did it sink in at our own? Holy matrimony is an honorable estate instituted of God in the time of man's innocency, signifying unto us the mystical union that is betwixt Christ and his church. Which holy estate Christ sanctioned and honored with his presence and first miracle in Cana of Galilee, and is commended of the Apostle Paul to be honorable among all men. Therefore, it is not to be by any taken in hand, inadvisedly, lightly, or wantonly, to satisfy men's carnal lusts and appetites, like brute beasts which have no understanding. This brings us to the second part of our verse. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Having dealt in some small way with the first part, husbands are to love their wives. That is the keynote of headship. How are husbands to love? Even as Christ loved the church. Now it's little wonder I say unto you that I find this intensely searching. If a man embarks upon marriage, he takes that woman to be flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and he is to love her. How? Even as Christ loved the church. Oh, I would to God that these things had been taught down the generations. What sorrow and tragedy would have been averted, even as Christ loved the church. Beloved, I say again, as with creation, as with the Sabbath, so with marriage, the deeper we go into it, the more serious and the more solemn it becomes. Even as Christ loved the church. Oh, as I thought on this, I had to ask my own heart, what husband could ever honestly speak in depth upon this? I cannot. Nevertheless, I must, as a minister of God's word, bring out the teaching here. And as I do so, I take its meaning to myself, as well as declare it unto you. We husbands are to love our wives, even as Christ loved the church. So the love of Christ for his bride is our pattern and our example. I repeat that. The love of Christ for his bride is our pattern and our example. Now, in this, I want to bring you four aspects. First, the love of Christ is particular. It is a particular love. Christ loved the church. That church is his bride. She is unique. She has no equal. She is unmatched. She is unparalleled. The church is set apart from all the rest of creation. She is sanctified. She's set apart. She's not for common use. Set apart from all the rest of creation. She was elected before the foundation of the world. The church was personally and particularly redeemed at Calvary. Personally and particularly redeemed at Calvary. Christ gave himself for it. Verse 25. He gave himself for it. That is the church, his bride. He loves her as nothing else. To Christ, there is nothing in the whole of the vast of his creation. Throughout the limitless universe, there is nothing like his bride. To his people, he has given a new life. He has given them a new identity. He has given them a new name. They are no longer isolated. They are linked with him, bone of his bone. No longer isolated. They are linked with him. And he says, I will write upon them the name of my God. They share his exalted rank and glory. The glory which thou gavest me, says Christ, all the glory that thou hast given me, I have given them. This is the pattern of marriage. We are to love our wives as nothing else on earth. No one else is to intrude at this level of affection. No one. Our wives are unmatched. They have no equal. They share our life. They bear our name. Indeed, they are part of us. It's a particular love. But more. Christ loved his bride with an unchanging love. An unchanging love. The love of Christ never fluctuates. He loves us with an everlasting love. That love was set upon us from all eternity in the full knowledge of our fall in Adam, with the resulting sin and stench of corruption which would be upon us. He saw us lost and ruined by the fall. We sang it just now. Yet loved us, notwithstanding all. What is more, he is in perfect knowledge of all our imperfections since regeneration. But his love never alternates. Even though we stray in bypath meadow, Even though we leave the paths of holiness, his love never fluctuates, it never alternates. Husbands, love your wives as Christ. No ifs or buts. It is this solemn teaching upon which, again, that prayer book is based. It's utterly biblical. We are to love her, comfort her, honor her, keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all other, keep thee only unto her as long as ye both shall live. Whether this shall prove to be for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness or in health, to love and to cherish till death us do part, according to God's holy ordinance. Back to creation, according to God's holy ordinance. And thereto do I plight my troth, an unchanging love. Friends, I state at this point that there is no such thing as divorce. I'm not concerned what modern evangelicals want to read into Matthew 5 or anything else. We'll come to that later. There is no such thing as divorce. It's according to God's holy ordinance. We'll deal with the other points at a later date. There is no such thing as divorce ever hinted at or contemplated in the holy ordinance of marriage. Indeed, it cannot be. First, then, a particular love. Secondly, an unchanging love. Thirdly, a sacrificial love. A sacrificial love. Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. Christ gave himself. Nothing was held back. There was no reserve. He sacrificed all for his bride. What did we sing? From heaven, he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood, he bought her, and for her life, he died. Love seeketh not her own, says the apostle. Not concerned with himself, concerned with the bride. Writes the Apostle Paul again, why? He said, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Husbands, what do we know of this quality of love? A love which gives and gives and gives with no reserve. Sacrifice and devotion to our wives. This is headship. We dare not talk about submission and subjection unless we know the key and the practice of headship. Independence, private interests, pleasure, sacrifice for the benefit the good of our wives. Christ gave himself for his bride. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. A particular love, an unchanging love, a sacrificial love. Fourthly, a purposeful love. Christ's love had an end in view. An end in view. Verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. An end in view. The sanctification and glory of his people. We are to love our wives in this way. To want the very best for them. To see them progress in holiness, which should delight us as Christ delights in his bride. As head, he will lead her and guide her into things spiritual as well as into things material. A particular love, an unchanging love, a sacrificial love, a purposeful love. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Nourish and to cherish. He is to treat his wife exactly as he treats himself, for she is a part of him. They twain shall be one flesh. One flesh. That's the ordinance. Now, this in no way undermines or injures the truth which we saw last time. For a head is vital to a body's life. And so I conclude this evening upon the note with which we began, that love is the keynote to headship. Husbands, love your wives, even as the heavenly bridegroom loves his bride. And so may his word be blessed to us all again this evening for God's glory. Amen. Shall we close by singing hymn number 573? 573. Savior, again to thy dear name, we raise with one accord our parting hymn of praise. We stand to bless thee ere our worship cease, then, lowly kneeling, wait thy word of peace. 573.
Stop.
loving Heavenly Father, we pray that this might be true, that thou wilt grant thy peace upon our homeward way. With thee began, and with thee shall end this day. Grant thou, guard thou the lips from sin, the hearts from shame, that in this house have called upon thy name. So go with us as we separate the one from the other for a few days again in thy will. Go with us and undertake for us, in the peculiar and specific circumstances of our family circles. Thou knowest, some of them are fraught with problems, with difficulties, with disappointments. Grant that we, like David, may inquire of the Lord regarding these things. Like Hezekiah, spread the whole matter before the Lord, and so wilt thou intervene in the circumstances of our families where there is particular need and guidance and help needed. So dismiss us now with thy blessing resting upon us, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us now and always. Amen.